You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way,
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our wonderful conversation today. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. And I'm thrilled and honored and blessed that our guest is here today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are so pleased to welcome our guest to this beautiful conversation. Would you please introduce yourself to our friends?
I'd be happy to. Thanks, Dr. Dawn. I am Miss Angie, and I am an online educator.
Wonderful. Well, there are celebrities and then there are real celebrities. And in our house, you're a big celebrity, a big star, one of the most important people in our family's lives because of the wonderful, so kind and compassionate, wonderful education that you provide. What does it mean to you to be an online educator?
Oh, man, that's a big question.
Yeah.
Where do I start? So, I mean, the online aspect is huge for us.
We
do a lot of online schooling, and I teach online, and it's been really, really good for our family, to be able to do it that way. The educating part, I mean, education, that's it. That's a huge subject. Where do I start? Help me, Dr. Dawn.
Well, I'm so fascinated because I think that your passion and your compassion really shines through when you're teaching. And I would love to know about your journey to beginning to teach and be an online educator.
I would say, So when I took my education degree, we had a thesis at the end of it, and I chose the topic of care because I believe that the only way you can be a good teacher is if you care about the students.
Right.
And that's what I'm all about. I'm about the individual students and their well-being. I'm like tearing up talking about it because I care so much.
Yes. And you know, that is precious. That is absolutely precious because in this day and age, it's almost cool not to care, right? To be so incredibly cool that you just don't care.
Yeah.
And yet when it's precious.
I've struggled with that. I used to think like, yeah, exactly that. It was cool to not look like you care and to not really show the emotion that, you know, that something is affecting you and, you know, don't show that you're tearing up and don't, you know, I've been really trying to learn to not let that have a hold on me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad for that. I'm so thankful for that because the world absolutely, it just, the world spins on an axis of care and concern. I mean, if we don't have community and mutual aid and we don't have love for one another, without love, we're nothing, right?
How do you
bring that care into your virtual class setting?
How do I answer that? I would say that the first thing that I start with before classes even start is, I'm crying again.
Me too. So good. I'd hand you a Kleenex, but it would be virtual.
I virtually accept the Kleenex.
Thank you. Okay.
I like to just give my time to Jesus, to so that he's the one leading, and because he's the one with all the love, and so I'm nothing without his love, and so I just I am far from getting it right all the time, but my goal is to accept Jesus's love and then ask for that love to just flow out, and hopefully for the students to feel that love, and
Oh, that's beyond beautiful. You know, I think of myself as a love letter. I think of my life as a love letter, and sometimes it's a podcast, and sometimes it's a book, and sometimes it's my music, and sometimes it's just you meet me and I'm real nice. And I think of you as a love letter to little children, that they have in their day the absolute surety and certainty that you love them. And that to me is the most important thing we can ever teach. You know, is that they are loved, that they are worthy, that they are precious, that we believe in them, that we care about them, that no matter what else happens in the earth today, we're on their side. And I feel that that's your love letter to the children that you teach. Absolutely.
That's very encouraging to hear you say that. Thanks so much. It makes me think. I've lost it now.
Well, it'll be back.
Yeah.
It'll be back. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking as you were talking to is when I first started, I did television. I worked at a certain news network, y'all.
Okay.
And, you know, there would be stories that would come on and they would be horrific. They would be just moving. And I would tear up just trying to convey the news. And my boss would say, oh, you've got to get over that. Or I would laugh. I would also laugh. Like if something came on and it was just wonderful, I would laugh. I would be happy for the people involved, or I would think the dog was cute or whatever. You know? And
I love that.
My boss was like, you've got to, you know, kind of get it under control there, until they started getting mail and people would say, I love that.
Oh, because it's sincere.
That's right. Yeah. And I think when we are willing to be transparent and be authentic, I think that makes us a safe place. We're, you know, Jesus is a nail fastened in a sure place, and we become a sure place for people. They know that when we respond with authenticity and transparency, they feel safe to do the same. They feel safe to, you know, own their emotions and be vulnerable, or be, however they're feeling in that moment. And I think that's a great gift of social emotional learning that you're giving to very young children who are just starting this journey, that they can feel their feelings and they can be present and mindful in that moment. How important is it to you that the children you teach feel safe with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely want them to feel safe.
That's right.
Yeah. It's fun that you brought up social emotional learning, because when I started trying out this teaching online thing, I don't know. I did one-offs here and there starting last December, just like story times and stuff. But then I started a circle time with some of my oldest friends. And it was really cool to see that I gravitated towards the social emotional learning stuff. That's just what I wanted to focus on. And so that's what some of the classes that I teach now, that's what I do. I do social emotional learning classes for a couple different online learning co-ops. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I love that. I love talking about feelings and letting kids know that it's okay to feel any of your feelings. None of them are bad to feel. And,
right,
you know, teaching them how to acknowledge, oh my goodness, I'm terrible at, I've been trying to grow. I've been trying to learn to not ignore my feelings.
Right.
I think I've done that a lot in my life where I just kind of learned. I was a middle child and just like quiet and just kind of like didn't express my feelings. And I think I just learned to just shove them down, just don't acknowledge them. Mm-hmm. And so as I've been trying to learn and of course then teach my kids and then teaching other kids, it's good to acknowledge our feelings and then learn what we can do with them or about them. Yeah.
I love what you're saying because I think that probably might be an epidemic right now is that people, because, and with good reason, you know, people are stuck in survival mode. People are having lots of problems. I mean, my goodness, you know, we've got pandemics and wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of stuff. And so I think there are a lot of folks walking around who don't even know how they feel right now. I don't know, because there's just, it's all huge.
Too much. It's too much. And I mean, life, it just, you have to go, go, go. And in order to feel your feelings, you have to take time. And we don't often do that. We don't take the time. It's not on our priority list. We've got other things to do.
Right. That's right. But also I think we live in a society that praises us for being strong and brave and resilient and pushing forward no matter what. And, you know, I'm living proof of that because I am, you know, overachievers. People go, oh, wow, a new book and music and oh, how wonderful. And they don't say, well, did you eat or sleep or anything? How you feeling? Yes. And so we actually praise people who sort of just don't feel, they just do. And I wonder how we can teach our young people. Let me ask you this. How can we teach our precious children not to get trapped in that cycle, but to feel their feelings and know ways to deal with them? They need healthy ways to deal with them.
Just yesterday, I taught a class about mindfulness, and I co-teach with another online teacher, and we decided for that class, we would focus mostly on just breathing, just and deep breathing and just taking a pause, you know, no matter what's going on and just breathe. I mean, I feel like, okay, when we were preparing this class, like, oh, we have so many ideas and like around this topic. And I mean, that's something that I really value in teaching is to focus on just one small thing, not, you know, oh, let's learn all these things, cram, 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 cram. It's just going to go in and out, you know? So we had to really like narrow it down, and we started with deep breathing. And I mean, of course, you know, from there, I don't know, what was your question? Let's go back to the original question.
How do we teach our children to feel their feelings and then know exactly what to do with those feelings?
Yeah, I mean, I think about teaching them. I'm far from an expert, so it's like, it's funny. I'm just like talking about it. No, but like what I've been learning, letting them know that their feelings are their feelings and they don't have to be bad or good. They're their feelings, and it's good to acknowledge them and to feel them, and so that they're not scared of certain feelings, like, oh, I gotta run away from this feeling. I I noticed, I don't know if it was like last year or a few months ago. So my then 2-year-old, she has a lot of feelings. And
yeah.
Something I discovered was when she cries, instead of saying like, it's okay, oh, you don't have to cry. Because that's just, you know, she keeps crying, and which is good. It's good to cry. But yeah. It's like, it's not helpful to say you don't need to cry. Like,
let
those feelings come out. I started singing just like a made up, you know, on the spot kind of song about how it's okay to cry. And when you feel sad, it's okay to cry. And when you get hurt, it's okay to cry. And I just like sing this in a nice little melody. And it's funny, though, because then she stops crying. I don't know if it's like her feelings are validated. And so then she's like, okay.
Right. She's been heard. Mm-hmm. She's been heard. And I think a lot of our feelings are really at the root that we just want to be heard. We want to be validated. We want to be cared for. Also, I think a lot of times, literally, it's a cry for community. You know, and that's something, I guess, I think that way as a tribal person. Yeah,
that's a really good point. I like that.
We were never created to be all by ourselves with our feelings. You're supposed to have some help. Someone's supposed to care something about you. And yet in the modern era, people are busy, they're stressed, they're tired, they're sick, they're struggling. And so what is the easiest thing to sort of sweep to the side? Okay, I can't do anything about these bills or World War III or whatever else, but I can stop crying. I can deal with that feeling later. I can push that aside. And And then the rest of the world, who is also stressed and busy, said, yeah, that's right. You're a strong, independent person. But as a tribal person, there is no such thing as an independent person. There's not. I mean, to be part of a tribe is to be part of a giant family of relatives. And so you weren't supposed to do this by yourself. You weren't supposed to be hurt by yourself or sad by yourself, but you're also not supposed to be happy by yourself. We're all supposed to rejoice with you. So all of it, I think, is a wonderful opportunity to teach and to share community. You know, what is it? I just love what you're saying and your approach, because what I see is the future. I see that we won't have little boys who grow up and the only emotion we let them show is anger or toughness. We won't have little girls who are afraid that if they do cry, they'll somehow be edged out of opportunities. You know, we'll have whole human beings who really will be able to enjoy their emotions, live out of their emotions. And then know which ones they should perhaps regulate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have a hard time knowing like how it's a whole thing, like the regulation part, like when is the time to, okay, we got to regulate this. And when is the time to just, just go like feel your feelings and just let it all out. Like when I was a in-person school teacher, we would use those self-regulation tools, because I feel like the main point is like to get them ready to learn. They come to school and it's time to learn. And we have all these students and if they're dysregulated, then it's hard to teach. So then I'm rethinking as I'm now parenting and teaching online. It's like I'm rethinking, okay, how do you know when to use that? Because I feel like we have to use that regulation tool because of, I don't know, like like the system. Like the system works. Yeah. If everyone's just like good and like good to go, we always use the color green. You're good. You're happy. You're calm. Whatever. You're ready to learn.
Right.
Do I need to implement them that with my children? Like do you know? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do. But you know, I'm just gonna warn you. I indigenize everything.
Sure.
And
sure.
So when I see it, I think the goal of education is to teach our children how to live.
Yes, I agree.
How to learn.
That's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Right. And so what I want is also a great tool in living and learning is to find your people, find your circle, find your community.
Mm, okay.
And I taught at the university level most of my career.
Mm.
And I remember one time we had a student come into a college classroom, university classroom, disheveled, clearly had been crying,
yeah,
and just blurted out that her mother had passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And she thought, if I could just get here, if I could just get here, I could be all right. And every student in that room got up. People went and got her water. They hugged her. They pulled out the Kleenex. They just were like so attentive to her. And I thought, you know, we didn't learn one thing about Cherokee studies that day, but I knew I had done my job. I knew I had done my job because in real life, that's what matters. Not necessarily if you can conjugate a verb or if you can quote a bunch of dates and, you know, geometric or quadratic equations. But I want them to be whole human beings. And I saw them and I praised them for that. I said, y'all were human beings. You are real human beings today. Someone was in distress and you helped them. And I wonder if instead of teaching to the test or saying, you know, we've got to get through this part of the syllabus or else, you know. We have maybe we have to decolonize education and start saying, okay, we want some spaces in this just to be human beings.
Oh yeah.
You know, maybe everybody is bouncing off the walls. They've had a lot of sugar today, you know. And so we're gonna treat this day differently than maybe the syllabus or the agenda says we should. And I just I wonder if maybe that's another part of it too, because I really wanted to ask you about the tough times that children are going through right now. Students are going through the underlife of students, right? Like you see the student and they look cute and they're, you know, there they are. And oh, wow, that's wonderful. But you may have a student dealing with food insecurity or a student who's dealing with, you know, a parent that has been sick. There's a pandemic raging, you know, and they're having a situation in their own life that's impacting their learning. And so what do we do with the underlife of students? Like, yes, they're in class. Yes, they're there. Yes, they're on Zoom or in the room, but everything else they bring with them. How do we help them learn with everything else life is throwing at them?
Yeah, I do think about that. And, and how I'm teaching these days, it's, I don't see my students very often. At most I'll see them for an hour a week. So it's not a lot. So, you know, I think about when I was a full-time teacher and saw the kids, you know, 6 hours, 5 days a week. And you learn some of the stuff that's going on. And there's times that, that we can talk about the hard things they're going through. And even then it's like, I think it's hard because in a situation like that, you want to spend all the time in the world, you know, but, it's hard. So how I've been thinking about it lately is even when I don't know what's going on, I think about, you never know how tough their day is or what they're going through. That's why I want them to feel the love and the care and this, you know, half hour, this hour, I'm here and I'll listen. And if something comes up, I'm sure I don't do it all the time. I don't want to worry about the schedule. I want to, you know, like, I feel like I've been thinking about it in the last month or two. My oldest went into kindergarten. And so it's like, it's still kindergarten. I feel like it's pretty, you know, we do a lot of play-based learning type stuff.
Sure.
But I've been thinking about it more. And I've recently thought that I love teaching concepts, math concepts, reading. I love teaching. I love teaching that kind of stuff.
But that
is kind of like something we do, but the ultimate goal is to learn how to be a person. If anything comes up, like, right, we don't just push through and make sure that we get that lesson done. That's my top priority is how to learn, how to teach. How English is difficult sometimes.
It's beautiful.
How to teach my kids, I don't know, how to live, how to be caring, kind people, how to know their worth and everybody else, has worth. That's top priority. And I'm sure I don't always, treat it that way. I can sometimes get task oriented. Mm-hmm. That's something that I want to keep growing at, not being task focused. I want to be people focused.
Yeah, I think you are. I think that, for me, love is my default setting. Mm. Like I'll just love you and we'll figure out the rest later. But
that's what
I've
felt from you. For
sure. Oh, that's sweet. Oh, that's wonderful. Because that's all that lasts. I mean, love never fails. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I walked into a room and I said, "Hey, everybody, I have a formula. I know something. You'll never fail." People would be lining up. What? What is this? I would have seminars, on how not to fail and all. And it's really this: love never fails. Mm. And I think when you lead with love, my granddaddy used to say, real recognizes real. And I really think that when people realize that you love them, when they realize they are love, they begin to learn.
Yeah.
They begin to grow.
Yeah.
They begin to blossom and mature. And it may not be on our timeline. It may not be the exact quote all these facts that I know, or learn all these flashcards or whatever, but they are learning, and they're learning to love learning, and they're learning to know that they're loved, and that gives you a courage. When you're loved, you can do brave things. You can do hard things. You can do great things if you're sure for sure that you are loved. And that's what I see you pouring into your students, and I see you just letting them know that you love them. Just being loved by you is so important. I still remember my preschool teacher.
Really? That's awesome.
fondly, right? Mm. And, most of our friends listening know that I paid for my master's degree by winning beauty contests. Mm. And I competed in pageants and I won them. And that's how the scholarships is how I went to get my master's degree.
Most teens who drink alcohol get it from family and friends, but providing alcohol to teens is unsafe, illegal, and irresponsible. Find out more. Visit don'tserveteens.gov. That's don'tserveteens.gov. A message from the Federal Trade Commission and this station.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
My preschool teacher wrote me a letter
and it said,
you look so lovely and so happy and you're so successful. And I always knew you would be. Do you remember me? And I wrote back and I sent her a copy of my book at the time and all. And I was like, I more than remember you. I think about you. I felt, when you first told me that I was a good writer because I wrote a story. Aww. And that you thought I'd be a writer someday, here are all my books now. And I think about you. And, you know, there's such a power, I think. Love never fails. It just never fails. And if you pour that into even the hardest, most difficult situation, put some love to work on it. Mm-hmm. I see people bloom. You know, I see students that when they came in, I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And by the end of the semester, they were phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Well, they were always phenomenal. They just mm-hmm. needed permission mm-hmm. and safe place to be phenomenal. And so I've been wanting to ask you about this. We have some very tough headlines these days.
Oh yeah.
We have some very tough times. I mean, there have been other pandemics. There have been other wars, mm-hmm. but usually not at the same time. Mm-hmm. Usually not exactly at the same moment. How do we have these conversations and make our young children feel safe and loved, even when the rest of the world is literally on fire?
Mm. Lots of things. I don't know how to teach. It's interesting, like being an online educator, and none of the classes are how do you say, we don't really acknowledge Jesus. So you know, like okay. in my social okay. emotional learning classes and mm-hmm. preschool classes, like, you know, we don't. And then it's interesting to how do you teach without that truth? Because, like, I mean, I can tell you how I teach my kids, because I.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very helpful. You know, I wonder, I mean, Jesus had to deal with people who didn't acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had to deal with trying to tell people about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people were mm-hmm. like trying to pick up stones and throw them at him. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he himself, the wonderful, great savior of the world, had to deal with people who didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't believe it. And I look at his model, and he used parables,
mm-hmm.
right? The kingdom of heaven is like,
mm-hmm.
there once was a man.
What? Yeah. This morning, yesterday, stories. Like
stories.
Most of the Bible is stories.
Sure.
There's got to be something about
right.
stories.
And so that's right. And so sometimes our stories, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sometimes mm. our stories, even when we're in, you know, because I taught at state universities and they're like, do not talk about Jesus unless right. it is a religion history class, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I did anyway.
No.
Because I talked. Yeah, I did. Because I talked about love
yeah.
and God is love. And I talked about love, and I talked about my experiences and my stories, and I used parables and parallels,
mm-hmm.
and I told people about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we ourselves sometimes, you know, just by being there, just by allowing the love of God to shine through you, everybody else is, you know, rushing and cussing and fussing and angry and upset and worried. And you're just cool, calm, collected, prayerful, serene.
Mm.
Or you're mm-hmm. kind and compassionate. You're all of these things. And I think even if your students don't hear the name of Jesus, they meet him through you.
Right.
Because it's like saying, oh, I have a really good friend I want you to meet. Oh, you think my life is wonderful? Let me tell you why.
Mm.
And I think that's the model I see you exuding the love of God. You know, St. Augustine says that the truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Just set it loose and it'll defend itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that happens when we show our love to people. They don't have to have a, you know, hello, I have come to talk to you about Jesus Christ and you must listen. I think
yeah,
sometimes
no, not at all.
Just we're just going to be people whose lives have been transformed by the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jesus said a city set on a hill couldn't be hid. Mm-hmm. So I think that's wonderful in these spaces. I think when we're in these spaces, we're even more powerful sometimes because our light is shining. Our light is shining yeah. in a room where nobody else will talk about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to talk about the love of God. We just have to be the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to walk in love. And I see you doing that every day.
Mm.
Every day. I see it. And I think, you know, preach the gospel mightily. Sometimes you might have to use words.
Yes, I love that. I love that
right?
quote.
Right. And yeah. I think we're getting to a point where maybe people have heard enough words.
I know.
They've heard a lot of words, empty promises, disappointing things. Yeah. They would need to see love in action, maybe. You know, love has arms and legs. My granddaddy used to say that. And I think maybe they just need to see love in action, and they're seeing that with you. Mm-hmm. They really are. So what has the love of God done in your life?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start?
Yeah, that's it, right? I mean, give us the highlight reel.
How about some sub questions? give me a little bit more.
Absolutely. When you think of the love of God, what does it mean to be loved by God? How does that make you feel?
It's so interesting trying to put the feelings into words. I'm a very visual, thinker. I think in images, and it could be really hard to put it into words. And it's just just look at my face. And that's how I feel, you know, just smiling and just tearing up.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time when being loved by God made a difference in your life?
It's interesting because it's I feel it makes a difference every second of the day.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So then thinking of moments or a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting this is the first thing that's come to my mind. I don't get angry very often. I'm not really an angry person.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing.
And I think, I don't know, maybe in the last year or so, I have experienced anger and learning what to do with that anger.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I you know, put on some music and you know, was boxing, you know, just kind of angry and just you know what, let me see if I can take it out this way. And I'm boxing and I'm praying at the same time.
Sure.
And what I did was I just told God, I didn't hide. You know, I didn't come to him with, you know, I've figured things out and now I've come to you. I'm just raw and just talking to him. And it's kind of a cool experience because talking to the creator of the universe like this, I think really puts things into perspective. But he's still there and he's listening and he's not rejecting me and he's not saying, you know, stop being angry. He's just, he understands. And and then he carries the weight. And it's very, I think I know why I thought of this first, because I think in most of my life, I have felt you can't be mad. You can't be angry. You have to, you have to shove those feelings down. And, or else you won't be accepted.
Wow.
And so I can go to God, incoherently angry, I'm thinking of the word stupid, but that's not a good word. It sounds petty, right? My anger, it seems petty, but he doesn't mind. He's there. He's there for me and he doesn't reject me.
Never.
And so
never.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't think I had thought of it that way before. Feeling his love in times when others would reject me. Mm. He doesn't.
Never will. That's beautiful. I appreciate you sharing that with us so much, because the Bible says, be angry, but and sin not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about Jesus, you know, chasing out the money changers and turning over tables. And, you know, he was clearly angry at this. And yet we, I think, push that down. And I wonder if some of the things that make us angry, righteous anger, maybe those are the things we're being called to heal. We're being called to fix. We're being called to change. Maybe at the root of it all, that anger has a use. You know, and I wonder if sometimes when we're angry, that's the part of us that loves us. That's the part of us that wants to defend us. That's the part of us that, you know, wants us to get up and end this injustice or change this.
Yeah.
And when we surrender that to God, a lot can get done in the right way.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wonder if we have a wonderful space to teach these young children from day one, I mean, just starting out, how to regulate their emotions, but also how to feel and use their emotions, you know? I think that you have a wonderful opportunity to speak into the lives of our children, our little ones. And what do you want them to learn from you? What's the most important thing you want them to learn from you?
Well, the first thing that I think of is that they are loved, that they know that they are loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so important. And I thank you for teaching them that. What do you want us to know about you that we might not already know?
What to say? I feel like there's... I'm not, nothing really coming to mind. Like at the same time, well, everything. It's like it all comes and then it's stuck. So it's like,
And you know, that's a wonderful thing, because what that means to me is that you're a person with many dimensions, that you're thinking about things, that you're processing things. And I just think that's gorgeous. I think that's just sacred, really. When you have your classes, when you are actually talking to the students in front of you, you know, how do you know, how do you have a sense that this lesson is a success?
Kind of like by the end of it, is it like deciding if it was a success or not? I don't know if I've thought of it exactly like that before.
Good.
Yeah, because I think of, I feel good about that. Or you know that one time that I was feeling discouraged after the classes and just the technology and just it wasn't. So, yeah, I mean, because there can be times when I'm discouraged and it might be myself or my or even Satan trying to like put lies into my head and discourage me and be like, yeah, you should quit. You should stop teaching, you know?
No, so, never.
So I think I usually feel like, yeah, that was good when I'm feeling present.
Mm-hmm.
I think times when I'm feeling a bit scattered and like, you know, task oriented. Here's the schedule. I got to do this and this. And then it's just kind of like perfunctory. Oh, we did the checklist. So it doesn't feel like, you know, oh yeah, that was a good class. So yeah, probably, you know, if I'm present and I mean, when I'm present and like, just, I think it gives more space for God to lead. And Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I really wanted to hear your response to that, because I always wonder, how do you know? Right? I mean, if You could think that this class was just, oh my goodness, this was the most off the walls class. This is just everyone was needed a nap and everybody mm-hmm. just was having a hard time. And yet one of those children grows up and cures cancer. Mm-hmm. Or one of those children has a wonderful day and they love it. They tell all their friends they had a great time learning today. Yeah. I don't know that we know enough to judge.
Well, that's the thing. That's a really, really good point, because I also think about that, where it's like, I don't need to judge if it was a success or not.
Right.
Because I believe that. Oh my goodness, sorry, there's a fly and it's
He is not a guest on this program.
yeah, like I do believe that. Oh, and it's part of the beauty of living for Jesus. It's mm-hmm. is that we don't have to ensure anything, any goal gets completed, anything gets done. We're not task oriented, really. We're not like, okay,
that's right.
This has to mm-hmm. be done, and now I just have to do anything I can to make sure it's done. It's the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's what matters right now. How can we love people now, mm-hmm. and then just give the results to God? Like, it's not up to us. And how many times do we have no idea, like, if something was meaningful to somebody or not? And we don't have to know, because we do trust that God will bring everything. What is it? For good? For those who love him?
Love him and are called according to his purpose. That's right.
Yes. And so, that feels like freedom right there. You don't have to hold on. Okay, well, that class didn't succeed in this, you know, way or that way, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the fact that grace is the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's grace. It's just grace. All of it's grace. We don't just get saved by grace and then, oh, well, I'll take it from here. You know, it's like, you know, everything we do, the grace of God, the love of God, the favor of God mm-hmm. is there to help us do it. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to other online educators? You know, what advice would you give someone else who's starting out in online education?
Maybe know why you'd want to do that.
Right. And that's a great piece of advice. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's super important. And I'm so glad you said that, because I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can drift. Mm-hmm. And we just sort of end up in something, you know, and mm-hmm. we're doing it. And then when it gets really hard, when it does take faith and it does take grace, it's a little harder. But when mm-hmm. you have a why, when you really believe that you have a call and a purpose and a destiny, it makes a lot of hard things. Not easier always, but understandable.
Yeah. And so that's a good way of saying it.
I want to ask you about parents and homeschooling or online education or perhaps virtual education, something a little bit different than sending children to a schoolhouse. What do you say to parents who are considering educating their children virtually?
Well, I mean, I'm careful with what I say. Like, because deep down, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'll start with this. everyone's situation is different. And so I can't be the judge for what's best for them and what's for me personally. Like, you know, that's the thing. I like to speak from my own experience. We're different people. Sure. This is my experience. You know, mm-hmm. take from it what's helpful. And if not, no worries. I'm just starting out. My oldest is 5. So, but I'm so excited about not sending them to,
school. It's wonderful.
Every day, mm-hmm. 6 hours. And yeah, I mean, I was a teacher in that system and there are amazing teachers and there's good things from it. But there's also things that I'm glad to avoid. I would say just having less students. So like when you're teaching from home, I mean, how many kids do you have? It's going to be
It's
going to be less than like in a regular classroom.
Right.
And it's just, I guess I don't really have words, just feelings.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important. Discernment is very important. It's a spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that God lets us, you know, our feelings shouldn't rule us, but I think our feelings can be a way that the Holy Spirit can communicate with us. And I think that wonderful feeling that you have, just the joy that they're not going, is a great confirmation that maybe your particular children are exactly where they need to be.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, you know? And I mean, Indigenous people have a very complicated relationship with public education. You know, we have a very challenging, you know, graveyards at boarding schools and things like that kind of idea. And so I always planned. I mean, when I was in university myself, I would take certain courses because I thought if I ever am blessed with children, I'm going to teach them. And I mean, I've been looking forward to that my whole life. I'm reading this book, so when I finally have children, I'll be really good at this. I'm learning this and all of that. Mm.
Well, that's cool.
And that's cool. It's a call, right? And so we're not going to come to your house and make you homeschool your children. So don't worry. Whatever's best with you, whatever's best for your family, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if I think the joy that we have in it, the fact that we're really enjoying this is an awesome confirmation that maybe we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me think about how I feel like God has given us this life situation right now that just that lends itself towards being able to do this. And definitely, like, not everybody is in that situation. And so I'm grateful. I also, before I had kids, I thought I want to homeschool. It might help that I can feel more confident because I am a teacher. Maybe that, you know, helps. And you know, I've spent more time thinking about what is education and what are my priorities and such. So I'm not sure how long we'll do this for. I don't really try to plan the future. I'm very much a present kind of person. So I'm enjoying it right now. And
they're enjoying it. I think that's another confirmation. You know, our children are blessed and they're enjoying it. And that is what we want most, is for them to have a happy childhood and to have a blessed and joyful life. And if they are enjoying it right now, then we'll enjoy it with them, I think. And so what has been the biggest lesson that you have learned as you educate your very own children?
I can't get the idea of a happy childhood out of my head, because I actually, I know what you're saying, but I think I've struggled with that concept.
I don't think there's any such thing, honestly. I think there's joyful childhood.
That's what I get the sense of you saying that. But like, for me, I think there's baggage of like, I feel like happiness. Because I struggle with that, with the actual happiness, not joy, wanting happiness for my kids. That's a hard part of parenting is they're not happy. That's so hard.
It really is.
But I really want them to also learn and grow. And your question was, what have I learned from educating my kids?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's too soon. It's too soon to say. I've like barely begun. I'm enjoying it.
And that, you know, that's wonderful. That is a great lesson right there. That is a wonderful insight of wisdom right there. Just that you're enjoying it, that it is wonderful, that it is delightful. You know, we were always told that we could never have any children. And it was a heartbreaker. Again, it was just awful because all I ever wanted to do was be a mother. And so I decided to be the cool aunt. I gave all the birthday parties. I helped to raise my nephews. I was just, you know, I threw myself into it. I was just the best aunt ever.
I can imagine. And
really, oh yeah. I mean, really, I mean, there, I have references, like people will tell you, you know, like the birthday parties, all of it. I mean, you know, and still my heartbreak was that I wanted to be a mother. That's all I ever wanted. When I was in preschool and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I drew myself as a mother. And they're like, do you want to do anything else? And I was like, no, not really. So, so I did a bunch of other stuff, right? While I was waiting to be a mother. But, oh, my heart just ached and all of that. And then we were surprised and blessed. And here is this miracle baby.
I'm enjoying it. I've been toying with this new class I started teaching just last month. And I only do it twice a month, so I've only done it twice. But I have these friends who have similar age kids as mine. So there's like an older kid and like a younger kid. And by older, I mean like 5 or 6. And younger, I mean like 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I make a class for this age range? And so I've just been experimenting, like just, you know, trying it out. And it's kind of like a focus on the 2 and 3 year olds kind of like level, like they're learning how to count. You know, we count to 10 and colors, and there's a story time and songs. And I'm still learning. I'm still working at it, but I'm trying to include the older siblings who are there because, oh, they know how to count to 10, easy peasy. They're going to be bored, but encourage them to interact with their younger sibling and to help them learn.
That's right.
And okay, older siblings, I need your help, to show, the younger ones how to do these actions, and then it's like they're the role model. They're the, you know, they're kind of like a teacher. So I don't know. I'm still working on it, but it's fun. it's kind of fun to do a class differently like that.
Community, I think, is always, you know, a wonderful thing. And think about the connections you're building between siblings, between family members, the wonderful way in which you're making that sibling useful and helpful. And the younger child now knows that right there in real life is somebody that will help them. You know, if I need to count to 10 in a hurry and I'm not online, I will have someone right here who can help me and loves me. And I believe you're bringing that out and building those bonds. And I think that is just gorgeous. And it's actually sacred, I think. You know, it's gorgeous. I love it. I have so much loved every moment of this conversation and everything that you shared with us. And it's been a true honor to talk to you. And it's just a great honor to know that my child is loved by you and safe in your virtual classroom. It is life-changing and transformational. And so I hope people have said thank you to you. Like, I hope people have said thank you for doing this wonderful work. But just in case they haven't, I want to say thank you to you. Madoma, hey, a big thanks.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this time talking with you too. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. I want to say thank you to everyone who makes this possible for us to do it. Our sponsors, our donors, it's a labor of love. And so many people help us to do this, and we're always so grateful. And we're grateful to this network, and we're grateful to each of you who take your time to listen. You could be doing anything with your time. And the fact that you give it as a gift to us by listening, I'm so grateful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together next time. Until then, you know, God loves you, and all of us here, we do too.
Lord and your coming savior. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once more.
You got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.